Welcome to the Game AFL Podcast, a weekly hit of the best football analysis from the West Australian and the Sunday Times, where the footy never stops. This is the game.
Quarters, Barbara Streisand is singing your song. This is what you said last week.
And Gold Coast v Hawthorn. And no, Duff, I'm not declaring it's over yet. I'm going to wait till round four.
You think you can win this one, don't you?
Well, mate, look, let's be honest, there's more cracks than the San Andreas fold at the moment in Hawthorn. But look, there's still a bit to like. I'm going to wait till round four to reserve my judgment. I'm picking Hawks, you?
I'm picking Hawks, but I do expect, and I challenge you to do this last week, and I do fully expect it. Gold Coast gets up in this one, I want Hawks gone next week.
If Gold Coast gets up, I'll declare that.
So, mate, quiz question for you. Melbourne has a ruckman who did a serious hamstring last week. His name is?
Gorn.
Hawthorn R.
Gorn.
Thank you very much. That's all I needed from you.
Well, a loss to Gold Coast, such as Hawthorn had, it's pretty hard for me to be anything else. I think I feel a bit like the, not the brass section on the Titanic, didn't they stay on till it sank, but the flautist. I think he was there on until the last 30 seconds and he leapt overboard. So I think that's me, mate. I can't defend that result. It was insipid, unfortunately. They turned their toes up early and I think it's going to be a long season. Now, I still recognise what they're doing, and should Mitchell and Lewis been in that side, would they have won a game? Probably, but I don't think that's the issue. I think they did need to get ahead of the curve 12 months, and didn't expect them to fall over it so quickly, though.
Yeah, I thought Hawthorn were one of the soft kills in the finals last year, so I have no great problem with them shipping Sam Mitchell out. I think the only thing I would say is that if you're going to ship him, try and get a better draft pick than pick 80-something, and obviously it got a bit messy with Jordan Lewis. I don't think most people would have had them as contenders this year, even had those people stayed, and I think they're a lot better than what they showed at Metricon Stadium on Sunday. But it was that third quarter, mate. That was when the belief stopped, wasn't it? When every player on the Hawthorn team basically knew there's no climbing out of this.
And it's going to be a slow gradual. I don't think if you're a Hawthorn supporter, though, I think you have to be pretty happy with your lot. It's been another great era.
Yep.
And I think you'll find, like, mate, last few years, I take a shower and premiership cups come out, you know. I've been showering in a helmet because they hurt, I can tell you, when they hit you in the head. I think I'll be able to use shampoo and conditioner for a while now, though, I think.
Yeah, good on you. Just found a way to rub it into a Fremantle supporter.
Stay ahead of the pack with the latest footy news, expert tips and in-depth analysis from WA's leading football writers in the pre-game lift-out every week in the West Australian.
Well, you looked sensational. What a game.
They were fantastic. They were absolutely fantastic. They played kids. They played with renewed dare and boldness. They got good results from most of their kids. I think Logue and Balick played roles in a pretty pressure cooker game, and Ethan Hughes also. But I think they got terrific games from Crozier and Tom Sheridan in particular. And their big guns stood up.
When it counted in that last quarter when they were behind. And yep. I think most people thought, well, what a gallant effort. They'll go down now, but what a sensational final quarter from them.
Yeah, the four big names, Mundy, Fife, Neil and Stephen Hill, and throw in Bradley Hill on top of that.
And
as
Sandy.
Well. And Sandilands was big. Michael Johnson did a great job as the backup ruckman. Joel Hamling was fantastic against his old club. Terrific effort. And look, with Melbourne's circumstances this week, no Jesse Hogan, no Jordan Lewis, no Max Gorn, Bernie Vince walking around without a toenail, trying to play. That's almost a 50-50 game. If Fremantle can bring that, which is a big if given the number of kids they're going to probably run out this week.
And travelling.
Yeah. But if they bring that, that's an interesting game, that one.
And Jesse at festivals.
Jesse at festival, yes. Like Hawthorn season, up in smoke. Oh, look, it's not a great look, but he's smoking a cigarette.
Having a dart, exactly.
If we want to be outraged about this, make smoking illegal. While it's legal, you know, it's not a great look. He's club won't be happy with him. It's not a great example to set for kids, but let's not get too carried away.
Well, I'm not so worried about the, having the dart, Duff. I mean, we've all had a dart in our lives, but, you know, it, for me, it's more he's at a festival when across the country his team's playing at the exact same time. I don't think that's a good look.
No, it's not. He's an interesting character, Jesse, isn't he? He's a bit different. There was some quirkiness about him. Like at one stage last year, I think he still didn't have his driver's license, and he used to ride skateboards here and there and everywhere. He's a bit of a lad still, and he needs to knuckle down and realise that footy pays the bills, and he needs to get fair dinkum.
And if there's some family illness that we can understand, and good on Melbourne for letting him have some special dispensation and to come home, but I just don't think it's a good look going off to a music festival when your team's playing at the same time. It just for me, I wouldn't have done that, and I think Melbourne realised that.
Yep, I agree.
For the most in-depth analysis on where the big matches were won and lost, get the game lift out every Monday in the West Australian.
On Freo, Harley Bennell, is he going to play for Freo? Are we ever going to see him?
I reckon there's got to be grave doubt about it now. I think that, look, I've spoken to a few Fremantle people about Harley, and what they say about him is that he's the most explosive athlete they've had at the club. So we look at Stephen Hill. Stephen Hill is an elite runner. He's what they call a repeat sprinter. So he can sprint and recover and sprint and go again. They say that Bennell puts him in the shade in terms of his athletic qualities. The problem you have with that is that that's great for... If he's more explosive than Stephen Hill, that's great for running 100 metres. But it's not great for a repeat endurance athlete. And clearly he has an issue with his calves. And clearly he has the mechanical power to blow them up because he keeps doing it. So
well, Cyril was the same at Hawthorn.
Yep.
Different injury, but he was very similar, that explosiveness.
Hamstrings.
Yes. And he seems to have recovered from that. So look, let's touch wood because, you know, a midfield with a... The Hills are alive, as you wrote earlier in the week, and Mundy and Fife, and you throw Bennell into that, it would be a really exciting midfield and one to look out for if you're an opposition team. But round 17, probably at best for him to get back, pretty hard.
Oh, no, I think, look, they said 6 weeks from the initial injury, and they rushed to diagnose that. I think they get a bit tetchy public relations-wise with Harley. They shouldn't have rushed. They should have left it, let it settle for a day or so, got it scanned properly. So he's basically 3 weeks later than he would have been had their initial diagnosis been right. So instead of 6 weeks from last week, it's going to be 8 to 10 weeks from this week. So I think you're looking more like just the backside of the mid-season break. There's still a chance he could get, assuming that he stays sound, which is a bloody big assumption to make given all we've seen, there's still a chance he could get, you know, 7 or 8 games in.
Do you give him two or three in the waffle? You have to give him two or three in the waffle.
Absolutely.
To find his feet and then back into at AFL level, maybe off the bench and see where we go from there.
Get WA's best match day footy reporting with expert analysis and breaking news every weekend in the Sunday Times.
Now, what about West Coast?
Well,
Do they think defence is the thing between De Ground and De Crowd?
I think they do, mate. You know, the real concern. Look, I'm not getting too concerned. They're still 2-1. It's very early in the season, but those MCG losses keep coming. They're still getting cut up through the middle. And the one thing I would say, mate, is run, Lewis, run. I mean, I'd just like to... Lewis Jeddah, we know... You can kick and handball just as well, not better than most of our players. But what he does have that X factor is his running ability. We've seen that in big games. So I'd say to him, you get the footy, you must run 20, 30 metres before you can dish it off. That's really would be my only brief to Lewis. I just want to see him run with the footy.
But what about, there are two things that Lewis Jeddah brings to West Coast. There's his running and he's an elite ball user. Now, a couple of times he took the ball on the weekend and we all wanted him to run and he didn't. He took 5 steps, but he actually spotted up a teammate. And that's the other thing. If the option's there, basically the ball travels faster than even Lewis Jeddah can run.
It does, but I'd just be encouraging that run. He seems reluctant to do so.
Yep.
That's the point I'm making, and I don't want to see that. I want to see him run. I want to see him back himself. And I'm sure Adam Simpson's doing that, but I just think there's nothing more exciting than seeing Jeddah run, and there's nothing more disconcerting from the opposition watching him run away.
And the other thing is run to defend. If Lewis Jeddah was able to run a couple of blokes down, stick a couple of tackles, get himself in the game, you know, have those resulting goals, get his teammates around him, patting him on the back for a goal assist. That would really get him up and about. He looks like a guy at the moment who's not sure of his role in the team, I reckon.
That's exactly right. But there are a few who need to run to defend too, Duff, just not Lewis.
Yeah, your former Hawthorn boy's one of them.
Well,
little,
probably.
Little Sammy?
Yes, probably. No doubt. So they need to address that before. But it's round three. Round yes. four, I should say. So, long way to go, and they're still 2-1. I'd rather be 2-1 than zip and 3.
Absolutely.
For live match day blogs, the best footy videos, and all the breaking news, head to thewest.com.au and perthnow.com.au.
From good to bad.
Very
to
ugly.
Ugly.
Very ugly. And what we saw in the showdown at the weekend, we thought we were over it. It resurfaces every year, and, you know, there are serial offenders in Adelaide, unfortunately.
I think everywhere is serial offenders on this. I think that, you know, in Western Australia, we certainly can't...
No.
We can't claim anything.
I guess just in recent times, it was close to the end of last... The showdown was, if not round 23, close to the end of last season, yep. Where we had a banana thrown on the field, and now this. You know, just a horrible aftermath to a great game of footy. Two sides showing us absolutely everything they've got in Adelaide, probably being harder for longer, and then this surfaces... Is the AFL doing enough? I was pleased with Gillon McLachlan's response yesterday. I thought he got on the front foot. I'm not sure what else they can do at this point. Look, it's about education, and I'm agreeing with throwing the book at anyone who's caught doing this.
Yeah, cancel their membership. Yeah. Let's just take race out of it for a minute. Why would you do something or say something you know is hurtful? Well, someone else. Forget that it's race.
Okay, forget that it's race. I don't think we're talking about people who are going to be booked for speeding on the highway of intelligence stuff, are we?
No, we're not. But I just don't understand how people can consciously do something they know is hurtful and upsetting to people. Like, why would you... I don't walk into rooms at parties and look at a bloke and go, oh, geez, he's going to be really upset if I say this. So
well, you've done it to me. No, well,
you've got to hide like a rhinoceros, mate.
But I think
and a nose to match.
But you and I agree with that. But we're not. We have different upbringings, perhaps. Stuff. I know. I'm not making a defence for these people, but they're different. These people. I don't get it either. I can't even go there. I can't fathom why you would go with that intention. And you know, I mean, footy's an emotional game, but they always go. They revert to that really ugly denominator. It seems.
Yeah, and it is ugly, and it's time it stopped. And people often like to poke fun at players and call them out when they fall behind what we think are community standards. The players are way out in front of the community on this. They decided a long time ago this was unacceptable and it had to stop, and they stopped it, and they stand up for each other and they support each other, and not just Indigenous players. This is Indigenous players, this is non-Indigenous players. All those people that like to say players need to be role models. Well, on this one, we all need to be role models. And players are way out in front of us.
I loved Mickey O'Loughlin's response to the video clip he sent to Eddie Betts. It was magnificent. For those who haven't seen it, few hundred people all cheering Eddie Betts, and Mickey O standing right at the front of screen saying, we're with you, mate. I loved it. I thought it was a great thing to do.
Yeah, and I think everyone needs to do that. It's something that... needs to be stamped out, not just out of our game, but out of our community. And it's going to be a long, hard battle to do it. But let's make our next step a step in the right direction and not a step backwards.
There's no time to lose if you want to share in over $150,000 in prizes with the game. Footy tipping, pick 7, and draft fantasy. Sign up now and get your tips in at thegame.com.au.
Into this week's round, Duff, and the Thursday night opener, West Coast v Sydney. I just want to mention Alir because the last 2 weeks, and certainly the 13 games he played last season, you know, obviously a unique background. Born in Sudan, went to a Kenyan refugee camp, came to Perth via Brisbane and played for East Fremantle Colts. What a tremendous athlete. And I just noticed last week in the game when it was probably all over and he took a mark deep in defence, under pressure, and just off-ski. And I love that attacking defence of his, and I think he's going to be an absolute star, and I look forward to watching his career unfold playing against the Eagles.
Well, you know that some athletes, they move quickly but they blunder into traffic. He knows where the space is.
He does.
About 3 or 4 times last week, he actually turned into the hole and got out and got clear and he did it in the blink of an eye. He knows where the room is around him, and that's a gift you can't teach. Players either have that, and if they don't, they need to keep it simple and they need to take first options and that sort of thing. But he actually knows. That's a great gift. He can be a great player, not just a good player.
And he's going to make some forward lines very, very nervous, starting with the Eagles on Thursday night.
Who are you tipping?
Well, they haven't lost... I think it's their worst start since 1999, Sydney, and yep. I'm tempted to, but I'm going to stick with the Eagles at home.
I don't think Sydney have been bad. Like, their 0-3 start is completely different to Hawthorn's. They've been strongly competitive. They nearly got back and beat Collingwood last weekend at the SCG. But for me, quarters, they've reached that tipping point where there are too many kids on the field now. Yep. And it's mainly through injury. And I think John Longmire's thrown up a couple of others that he wants to promote and get games into. I think West Coast at home will steady the ship.
Look of a few of those kids too. But Kieran Jack's definitely on the nose at the moment.
Yeah, he's got a bit to prove. He really should have taken a chest mark late in the game against the Pies, should have been kicking for the win, spilled it, and that's been indicative of his season, I reckon. He's a bit low on confidence, and he's got a bit of work to do. Their midfield, apart from Joey Kennedy, has got a bit of work to do.
Dan Hannabury had lots of it last week, but I wasn't convinced, and interesting, he's taken a Sabbath, he's off the grog all year, and people are telling him to get back on it. He's saying, no, I'm not going to get back on it. Maybe he should.
They miss Heaney, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
they miss Heaney. And why wouldn't you? He's a quality player.
On to Friday, and Friday, good Friday footy, Duff. The first game, we've been waiting 30 years for it. Certainly North Melbourne has. What are your thoughts? You happy with good Friday footy?
I don't mind it. It's been played in the waffle for a few years now, and they've done it, you know, carefully and tastefully, and I think they got the church on side, which was important. So, yeah, I don't have any great problem with it. I hope that another couple of clubs can develop a blockbuster, which is what we all hope comes out of it, so that it's not just the same clubs playing the same blockbuster fixtures every year. That'll be great for North Melbourne if they can get one, and it's St Kilda, isn't it?
Western Bulldogs.
Doggies, yeah. It would be great for those two clubs if they can develop their own blockbuster. I like it.
I do too. I think if you want to practice, you can certainly do that and then go after the footy afterwards. I think it's been a void, and I'm wrapped with it.
Who wins?
I'm picking the Dogs, but I'm really curious to see how they back up after travelling and after their pretty ordinary performance, not taking anything away from the Dockers, but they were ordinary, I thought, and they haven't been overly convincing yet this season, the Dogs. Still 2-1. Definitely a danger game. I like the look of North, who's done nothing wrong the first 3 weeks. They've been close each week, and love the way Higgins is playing at the moment. By the way, he's in career best form, but I'm picking the Dogs just.
I'm picking the Dogs, but their brand's a bit off, isn't it? Their contested ball. They got control of the game last weekend against the Dockers, and then the Dockers flat out monstered them in the last quarter at the stoppages and played the game in
their
half.
So they really miss Pickett. Is he playing?
Good question.
Yeah, well, it may swing my tip once I find out whether he's playing or not. But
he's the grunt, isn't he? He's the extra grunt. Yeah. And you can load up on Liberatore a bit if he's not around. So
Saturday, Melbourne v Freo at the G, as we said earlier. There is an opening there for Freo. They can certainly pounce because there's a few missing from Melbourne. I'm tipping Melbourne. I'm very tempted, but I'm going the D's, and one more reason not to put the chains on the Range Rover just yet.
I'm tipping Melbourne. I would like to hope that Fremantle can bring what they brought to Domain Stadium last Saturday night, but I think when you've got that many kids in the team, the away trips tend to get very challenging, and that's what I've seen over 25 years of doing this. And I would love to think that Fremantle can reproduce, but I'm going to sit off them for one more week.
GWS v Port at Manuka, and not a bad audition for Josh Kelly against North last week.
Yeah, he's a pretty fair player, Josh.
30-odd possessions. A lot of pressure on him last week. Shows what sort of class of character he is.
Nice, smooth mover.
Beautiful. Yeah, he's a great footballer. Port Adelaide will feel the loss of Paddy Ryder too. So coming off the showdown, I think GWS wins that one.
Yeah, they're just starting to find their mojo. But they're starting to run out of midfielders though, quarters. They've got a few injuries in there. And there's a couple more. Griffin's gone down this week for long-term.
12 weeks, I think. Yeah, a bit of depth there though.
Yeah, there is. There is a bit of talent.
Just a bit, like four years of first-round draft picks.
Every time you speak to another club, they remind us of that. remember.
Oh, yes, they do.
But I think GWS can get the Chockies there.
Carlton v Gold Coast at Etihad Stadium. Will Gold Coast back it up? And I love that performance by Carlton. It was like with the Guernsey with that dark CFC monogram on it. It was like the Blues of old. And I love Brendan Bolton's comment about Cripps. Cripp is just a good country boy. I thought he and Rowe did a great job coming back from head injuries last week and performing really well. And look, I'm picking Carlton. I think they'll win this, but if Gold Coast play like they did last week, they might be in a bit of trouble. It is at Etihad Stadium. So.
I'm picking Carlton, and I think Carlton can compete pretty strongly with most teams while they have that first choice midfield on the park. As soon as they lose Murphy or Gibbs or Cripps, then you'll see a mighty hole appear, and I think they'll drop away pretty quickly. But while they're all out there with Cruiser, I think they can compete pretty strongly with most teams, and they should beat the lowly placed non-Victorian teams when they play them in Melbourne.
Good to see Matera bob up with six last week too.
Yeah, well, he thought he was playing under 16s. About four of them were from the goal square. But bloody good defence by your boys.
And probably playing against Witches Hats last week too in the second half. So
5 of 10 goals quarters from the goal square in the third quarter. That was not good.
Very un-Hawthorn-like.
Very un-Hawthorn-like.
Yeah, perhaps it is Hawthorn-like this year. Adelaide v Essendon coming off a showdown. Essendon. Is the fairy tale over? Are we now back to reality? Look, I'm picking Adelaide. Mitch McGovern's a big loss.
Yep.
I think he's out for about 8 weeks. I'm picking Adelaide, but it smells of danger for me after the showdown.
Yeah, there's always that bit of a flat spot that the interstate clubs hit after they play their derby or showdown. But Adelaide, geez, they're a good team. They're the form team in the comp.
And how good's Rory Sloane? And interestingly, he said it was the hottest first quarter he's experienced in a showdown last week.
Yeah, well, he usually goes where the heat is too.
Oh, Rory, he loves it.
He's certainly not one that hangs around. I think he's the most honourable footballer in the competition,
yep.
Rory Sloane.
Yep.
He just goes where he needs to go, where his team needs him to be. He's a fantastic player.
Wouldn't be your first pick, but he didn't be in your top five, I reckon, just for blue-collar work ethic, I reckon.
I think they'll beat the Bombers.
Okay. Sunday, Collingwood v St Kilda. For mine, this is the most difficult game to pick, I reckon, of the round at Etihad Stadium. Great effort by Collingwood last week. 15 tackles to Treloar. Great effort there. And how good was Nick Riewoldt?
He's a wonder, isn't he? He's got bone-on-bone knee. He's had it for about 10 years, and he just keeps buttering up. He's the best running key position player in the history of the game,
yep,
with daylight second.
Yep.
I know there have been other great key position players, but no one runs like he.
No, yeah. Buddy's up there, but he's just such a terrific player. And I think they were 36 down in the second quarter and won by 31, and on the back of largely his efforts. What did you think of Montagna's little goal square pirouette and stance?
Well, he was milking the clock. Yeah. Rather than showboating. I think that's apparent. I don't think Alan Richardson was too impressed.
At the time, he didn't. I think in hindsight, he realised he was milking the clock and didn't mind the move, but I don't think they'd like him to do it again. You could see, if you're a good lip reader, you could see what he was basically saying. What's he doing?
Even though he doesn't mean anything by it, there's always the chance that it will give the opposition team a rallying point if they interpret it.
And he was almost caught by the Brisbane player last week too.
He needed a shepherd.
Yeah, exactly. And which could have resulted, I'm not sure, could have resulted in a free kick that too. So it was a bit of a...
Given that he saved 3 seconds, probably not worth the risk, I don't think.
St Kilda or Collingwood? I'm going the Saints.
I'm going to tip St Kilda. I'm not convinced about them quarters. I didn't like their game against Brisbane. I thought they had that game under control and then they took the foot off the pedal and the Lions actually threatened them for a little while. St Kilda, but with no great confidence.
I think the Pies have found one in Henry Shea too. Kept Buddy Goldless last week a great effort. So
Lighten.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Light and shade.
Nearly good. I like it. I got it. Yeah.
Nearly cost them 2 points. He nearly forced his own behind right at the end. But he did play a great game on Buddy. And then, of course, are we up to Easter Monday quarter? I can't wait to get to Easter Monday.
Brisbane, Richmond finally. How are we going to see? This is the game Richmond of old losers. Brisbane v Richmond at the Gabba. Tigers, everyone in Melbourne's talking about them. Brisbane has been gallant every week.
Yep, they've been good.
They deserve some recognition and some chance here. Look, I'm picking Richmond, but this is the game they lose. This is the sort of game they lose.
If you measure Essendon played Brisbane at the Gabba a couple of weeks ago, it was a danger game for Essendon too, but eventually Essendon covered them. I think Richmond's at least as good as Essendon, so I'm tipping
Richmond. Is Dusty the best player in the comp at the moment?
He's the form player in the comp right now.
Yeah. Ian Danger. Danger's still doing nothing wrong, but I've got him as my, he'd be my number one picked at the moment.
There's some good ones.
Yeah, oh, yes. Yeah. Easter Monday, Hawthorn v Geelong at the G. Normally we'd be tossing a coin here. Mate, I'm picking the Cats.
I'm tossing a coin, but it's a double-headed coin, and the head says Cats.
I can tell you this. Last week, Hawkins, 5 goals zip. Menzel, 4-1, and Dangerfield, 3 goals zip. So if they kick that straight, Hawthorn's absolutely no chance. You know, I can't pick the Hawthorn on last week's form.
What do you want to see from them?
I want to see, you know, to use a Ross Lyonism, all I ask is effort. I don't want to see a second half where they turn their toes up. I want to see them within, well, I think within 4 goals would be okay, given where Hawthorn's at the moment. Yep. And, you know, that wouldn't surprise me. There's still a lot to like in the Hawthorn side, but I think confidence is very low. And, you know, it's going to be a bit of a test for Alistair Clarkson to get that right. Normally it's just a given. But, you know, the thing about Hawthorn at the moment is they're not that symmetry of possession. You normally, there's the hand and foot connection that it's just there. They don't even think about it. But it seems really laboured at the moment, and that's something you really notice when you watch the Hawks.
And you can hear the supporters of all other clubs picking up their violins and playing,
of course,
the poor Hawks.
Well, as long as it's not a flute on the Titanic.
You're going down. You've hit the iceberg.
That's right.
It is all over.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you very much for listening to us this week. We'll be back again next week with Quarters and Duff. And good luck and good tipping over Easter.
To you too, mate.
The Game AFL podcast is brought to you by the West Australian and the Sunday Times, where the footy never stops. Watch the best videos and stay on the ball with breaking news and expert analysis at thewest.com.au and perthnow.com.au. This has been The Game.